Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Live from the Stands, a different type of sports podcast. I am your host, Lyle Anthony Golden, and back with me this week.
I'm back.
Return, Mr.
Shaquille. I'm back.
Yeah, I'm back. It's good to be back in the stands. And yeah, I was out of commission. Yeah, I heard a lot of talking when I was gone. But you know what it is. I'm back now. It's quiet. It's shush. It's quiet in here. It's good to be back.
All right. So just like that, we're going to head into what we have planned for this week. So we're going to kick it off with some NBA, do a weekly roundup. Then we're going to give you guys some early All-Star team picks. It's probably way too early, but we're going to do it anyways. Then, you know, we're going to get into the Premier League this weekend. I'm going to get into some schoolboy football. Then, of course, our Jamaican Athlete of the Week and our Game of the Week. And we're switching it up for the game this week. So, you know, so you have some spicy. I look forward to it, isn't it? So we're going to kick it off, like we said, NBA Weekly Roundup. And I feel like there's only one place to start because the Western Conference is moving kind of mad right now, you see me? And there are two teams at the top. One is on a crazy 16-game win streak. And the other isn't on as big of a streak, but the other is just widely considered the best team in basketball. And that's the Suns and the Warriors. And as for the Suns, they just came off of a good win against the Nets. It was close at times, but like for the most part of the game, they were clumping up Harden, playing good defense. The Nets were turning it over all night. And Benty, bro, the Suns, like, how long do you think they can keep this run going, realistically?
I mean, I wanted them to win the chip last year. It's a good team. It's really a good team. Devin Booker is now hitting his stride phase where he's really becoming one of the best shooting guards in the league. He's taking up that mantle. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton always been good. And with Chris Paul there, Chris Paul is aging like fine wine. You know what I mean? So a steady team, you know, they have the proper supporting cast, campaign coming in, giving some good minutes, showing that he's not just a dancer like he used to dance back with Russell Westbrook. And I think the Suns, They probably won't break like the streak record or even get as close to the Miami Heat. But yeah, this is good. I think they'll still make the playoffs for sure in that nice 1-4 slot. And it will be an interesting season.
And looking at their counterparts at the top of the Western Conference, of course, you know, we've talked about them on the show before. It's the Golden State Warriors, and they really just keep it going. Like, as we're recording this now, they just finished slapping up the Clippers and Paul George. And it was, again, just a solid defensive performance. They held the Clippers to just 90 points. You see me? Steph Curry dropped 33, Jordan Poole, and is looking for his most improved, dropped 17. And the Warriors, I mean, there's not much to hate about them right now. They're playing beautiful basketball. The defense is going crazy. And I think they're just right now, they're probably as close to a lock for a Western Conference final appearance as you could get. And I know I asked you, like, how long do you think the Suns can keep this streak going? But it's going to be hella interesting because on Tuesday, you know who's playing. You know who's playing. It's the Suns and the Warriors, 1-2. Big game on Tuesday. So we're going to see how the Suns and the Warriors stack up. And I feel like that's going to be an incredible game. Chris Paul, D-Book versus Poole, Curry, and the crew. And look, we're going to see if the Suns can keep it rolling. But just like that, we're going to keep it rolling and going to talking about the LA Lakers. And Benty, I want you to give me your view, your honest views, because we know that LeBron has been injured and then he came back and then he got suspended, so he hasn't really gotten back into his flow yet. But the Lakers are, it's looking rough. They're still below 500. They just came off a triple overtime loss against the Kings. So, I mean, just tell me what you think, really.
I mean, it's basketball. It's going to take some time especially when you make such huge moves. in the offseason. So I'm not too worried about the Lakers. I'm not really worried about them. They have enough talent and they have enough experience around them to make the playoffs. So it's just about getting the team to gel, getting the players, keeping the players healthy. And, you know, for sure, I think they'd still make the playoffs and be able to contend for something. Because when you really look at it, the Timberwolves are above them and the Timberwolves are just at 500. So, you know, I think that the Lakers have the capability of doing way more. And, you know, they can, they definitely can make something from the season. It's not too far gone. It's not, it's worrying, but it's not that worrying, if you get what I'm saying. It's just 21 games gone for the season. A long, long time left. And I mean, Klay Thompson isn't even back. The season hasn't started yet. When Klay Thompson is back, that's true. When the season starts. True. That's when you that's when you start judging everybody. When the 77th best player ever by, you know, NBA standards. Because to me, he's in the top 75. But
for sure.
Yeah, when he gets back, we'll start judging the league that way. We'll start looking at the Lakers and seeing all of that.
There's been a lot of talk like recently about Frank Vogel's job being in danger and how he's not really performing as a coach. You think there's any truth to the rumors that he could be on the hot seat, or do you think that he should be fired?
I don't think there's any reason to put him on the hot seat or even... It's just basketball. Like I said, there's a lot of moving pieces around. You know, he lost Caruso. He lost, you know, a lot of players from last season, and he's been brought, you know, some different type of players who he has to make the most of right now. So I don't think it's a coaching issue, more so a team building issue. So it's just about figuring his right starting five out, the plays, how to get the best out of Russell Westbrook, which is probably the most challenging thing. Because once you have a efficient Russell Westbrook, like, you know, Scott Brooks back when he was in the Thunders, he got effective Russell Westbrook. So that's just something that people need to work on. And once you can do that, then, you know, it's good. I don't think Frank Vogel's job should be in danger, or, you know, there's any truth to the fact that he would be, you know, kicked.
I think I agree with you for real, because like you said, when you look at the standings, they are 10 and 11, but the fourth seed Dallas Mavericks are 10 and 8. So they're only 3 games back of the Mavericks. And like you said, it's early season. Klay hasn't even come back yet. You know, he and James Wiseman just got sent to, I believe it's the Warriors G League team, to ramp up their recovery. So it's still early doors, but things are looking pretty interesting. Of course, you know, we can't close up this segment without mentioning that my team, the Heat, are second in the East, you know, 13 and 7. And Bente's team is, you know, 9, 11 and 10. But yeah, we're going to move on into the early All-Star team picks. So we took some time and went over looking at the season so far and a whole. And you're going to notice that there are some players right now that they may be injured, but the assumption is that they're going to come back well before All-Star break. So they're going to continue on their trajectory. So that's what I'm assuming. So we're going to start off, Bento, with the starters. And for the East, we got Trae Young starting at the point guard, DeMar DeRozan at the 2, Jimmy Butler at the 3, KD at the 4, and Giannis playing center. So once again, the All-Star starters that we have for the East are Trae, DeRozan, Butler, KD, and Giannis. Now out West, the starters we have over there are Curry, Ja Morant, Paul George, Anthony Davis, and Jokic. Immediate reactions, Bente. You feel like we left anybody off of the starters list? Keeping in mind that we do have the full 12-man roster for East and West, but in terms of starters, do you think there was anybody that was snubbed?
I think Kat gets in over Jokic for the center spot.
Ooh.
In the West. But that's about it for me in terms of like what you miss for your starter spot.
No shouts for Tatum in the East over Jimmy.
Jimmy's on a good trajectory. Give me this rundown for the East again.
So we got Trae, DeRozan, Jimmy, KD, and Giannis.
So, you know, the fan vote makes up a good part of it. So Giannis, yes. Jimmy, more than likely. Trae, more than likely. I don't think DeRozan gets in over Tatum. though. I don't think that's going to happen because Tatum has an entire city behind him and Tatum's numbers are good.
That's true.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't think DeRozan gets in over Tatum. More than likely, even if you probably said, I don't know, Zach had more. I think Zach's going to end up with more votes than DeMar because even though DeRozan has been playing a bit better, but there's that element where you have to entice the fans, and that's one major part of All-Star break. That's how Kobe was even leading when he was injured that time because the fans play a huge part of it.
Facts. Well, speaking of Zach and Tatum, for the bench over the East, we had Zach LaVine, LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges, James Harden, DeMontis Sabonis, Jason Tatum, and I had to throw Bam in there. You know, I had to. It had to be done. You know, we're pushing the agenda. Bam for All-Star, Bam for DPOY. So in terms of the bench for the East, I honestly don't feel like we might have left anybody out, really and truly. We got LaMelo in there, who I think is almost a lock for his first All-Star appearance. It's his second year in the league. He did have his injury or a little bit of time out in the first year, so he didn't get a rookie All-Star team appearance, but I think he's definitely going to get one this year. Miles Bridges, who's going crazy as well, LaMelo's teammate. And then, you know, guys like Harden, guys like Tatum, like you said, LaVine, they're going to get fan votes. But for me, Bam, I'm just a biased fan. So Bam, I got it. Isn't it? Bam, I got it. But yeah. You feel like we left anybody off overall now from the East, like, or any honorable mentions which you throw in there? Because I don't think I don't.
For me, maybe Jaylen Brown gets back in there for his All-Star performances. Did you call Embiid?
Oh, not okay. All right. We're gonna throw a quick audible because I don't know how I forgot. You know, it's true. It's because he's been out like a week or a week and a half, so I didn't even remember. So yeah, I want to be a biased Heat fan, but Bam is gonna get out of there, and Joel is going to be on the bench as well. Yeah. So in terms of Jaylen Brown, I think it's true as well. He's still recovering from his injury. But I think he'll pick it up for sure. Now out west for the bench, we have Luka Doncic, who has a good shot of ending up as title. I think it's a toss-up between him and Ja Morant. You have Devin Booker, who we spoke about earlier, LeBron James, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, yeah. DeJounte Murray and Rudy Gobert. So for me, like, Rudy was thrown in because, you know, he's Rudy and he's going to get All-Star team selections because he's a center, and out west there's not a whole lot of great centers out west, and he is a good defender, one of the best in the league, and he's putting up numbers as usual. So the big call for me out west was leaving out Spider, Donovan Mitchell, and putting in Anthony Edwards. And I think Ant's been going crazy. So I don't know if it's that big a call, but who you think it should go into the team? Anthony Edwards or Donovan Mitchell?
I think you can try to put in Anthony Edwards, but what's really going to happen is Donovan Mitchell is going to make the team, because that's actually what's going to happen. It's Donovan Mitchell is going to be an All-Star for sure. Donovan Mitchell is going to make the All-Star team. That's just bound to happen. So I don't know who you're going to take out, but Donovan Mitchell needs to be in that team.
It would have to be Ant. It can't be
and
the
Luke, and Luka Doncic is going to get to start over Ja Morant. That's, I'm positive about that for sure. I'm 100% sure about that. So if Ja is making his first All-Star appearance, it's going to be from the bench. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Well, we don't care about that because it's my All-Star picks. It's our All-Star picks. And we say Ja go start and Donovan now going to kick. So we're going to leave it at that. But you guys can, of course, send us your early All-Star team picks. Let us know who you think we snubbed, if we snubbed anybody, and who should be starting and who should be on the bench. So that's going to close it up for the NBA portion of this show. And we're going to transition right into what some people call the main event, which is the Premier League review for this weekend. Now, it was an interesting weekend. Let's start just going in chronological order from Saturday. So we started out with Arsenal beating Newcastle 2-0 at home. Newcastle are bad. Let's be real about it. They're not great. Eddie Howe has a massive job on his hands. He's going to have to blow some cheddar in January because they got cooked. And Klaasenal is back. They were cooking, Martinelli cooking, although Emil Smith-Rowe and Odegaard were both missing. I think Arsenal had a really good game and they're looking really solid so far in the Premier League, up above United, but we're not going to talk about that too much. Moving into the second game, which was Norwich versus Wolves, nil all. Moving on. The third game was Aston Villa versus Crystal Palace. Benty's favorite legend, Steven Gerrard, now has two wins from two, winning 2-1 away from home.
Perfect.
And listen, it's looking good. They do have a tough game on the horizon against Manchester City midweek, which is going to be a big test, and it's going to give us a lot of insight onto how Gerrard is going to approach his big games tactically, if he's going to try to go toe-to-toe, or if he's going to, you know, go a bit more pragmatic. But we'll see about it. And then I'm going to just quickly...
Tell Vieira to hold that. Tell Vieira to hold that L, man.
Vieira did. He did have to hold it. But Benty, you can take the reins on Liverpool's game. I know that you always enjoy talking about Liverpool. So.
I mean, it's the usual Liverpool dumped on Southampton, you know, our academy, because we're always buying footballers from there and we're making the best of them. So, you know, we dumped on them. Jota grabbing, you know, a goal again. You know, he's been amazing. He grabbed one in the Champions League. So, you know, I'm sad that Salah didn't get, you know, a goal, because that, you know, is affecting my FPL. But I know why he didn't grab a goal. It's because some guys keep on captaining him. I won't call any names. We won't call any names. We haven't even mentioned that. But please take Salah out of your FPL so he can prosper and thrive. Please. And yeah, Liverpool is just good. We're waiting to just, you know, pounce at the right time and take the top of the table and win number 20.
All right. Let's calm down. But it was a great win, dominating win. It's been class. It was a classic Klopp Liverpool win, you know. So moving into the last game on Saturday, it was Brighton versus Leeds. They played out a nil-all draw, but it was a pretty exciting nil-all. You know, two great managers, two good footballing sides in Potter's Brighton and Bielsa's Leeds. But yeah, we're going to move on into Saturday, which had two really big... Sunday, which had two really big games. But we're going to start off with Brentford versus Everton. Brentford winning 1-0. That man, Ivan Toney, scoring from the spot. And he's been pretty good for Brentford, who have... on a whole, been a solid promotion team. You know, Tony's got 4 goals, 2 assists so far in the Premier League this season. So, you know, we're proud of him, Jamaican heritage, even though he hasn't yet played for us. Moving into the next game, it was Burnley-Tottenham, which was postponed due to inclement weather conditions. Leicester and Watford played out a thriller. It was a 4-2 win for Leicester in the snow. Ben, did you get to catch that game?
I mean, I saw the highlights. I saw nothing but white. I mean, there's a lot of snow there. I don't know why that game was, you know, played, but, you know, I saw the highlights. I saw some of the Watford goals. I didn't get to watch it completely, but, you know, based on the highlights and that, it was a good game. Some good goals were scored. And, you know, I just don't think, like, the snow was the right conditions overall. I hate when the game is too snowy. So, yeah.
And too snowy was a theme for both the games that were playing concurrently, because City and West Ham were playing in Winter Wonderland as well. You know, City winning that game 2-1 in a clash of two top four teams. But the scoreline for this game didn't really represent the true way that the game was played, because City in real life, they were pretty comfortable and they were deserved winners of this game. West Ham getting a late consolation through Lanzini, and that was a ridiculous goal from Lanzini, who has that banger in him. So it was a good game from City, and they continue to roll on in the Premier League. But we're going to roll into the main event of the weekend. It was Chelsea versus Michael Carrick's.
Who said that? Manchester. The main event.
I said that.
That's a main top club versus a mid-table team versus the top team.
Anyways, so Chelsea and Manchester United played out a 1-1 draw. Goal scored by Jadon Sancho and Jorginho. So I'm going to let Benti, you can give your thoughts on this game before me, because I might talk a little bit about this one.
Hopefully you don't, because I don't think anybody wants to hear about Manchester United. But
all right.
Let's truly talk about it. Chelsea had majority of the ball. That's nothing new, because I don't know. To me, Manchester United doesn't, you know, have the capabilities to play with the ball at their feet for a long period of time. Of course, Chelsea put more passes together. Of course, you know. So we saw where Carrick at the wheel. You know, he went with, you know, Rashford and Sancho. And then Bruno behind them in like a diamond-ish formation. He started in McFred and Matic. And to me, that was just a weird lineup. That was a weird starting 11 for me. But I guess somebody was saying it was a pre-Ragnick ball. He was trying to, you know, start and get the team accustomed to. Greenwood was coming back from injury. So he was on the bench. And of course, the GOAT Cristiano Ronaldo was on the bench as well. And I just think that, you know, from the game was started, when the lineups came out, I thought that, you know, of course, Manchester United are finished. So for you guys to pull a point, I'm actually really impressed, because I'm really impressed, to be honest. I'm actually really impressed. But then again, Chelsea were without Ben Chilwell. And I think he plays an important part in what they do and what they're trying to do right now. So, yeah.
Facts. Well, for me, I feel like, of course, if you'd ask me before the game, are you going to take a 1-1 away from Stamford Bridge? I am 100% saying thank you very much, because we've been bad. We've been extremely awful these past couple months. And it was I feel like the game played out exactly how Carrick wanted to play out. He set up the team to be compact, to be resolute, hard to play against. And we defended really well. I mean, Chelsea had loads of the ball. They had loads of shots. But really and truly, the one big chance, or the couple of big chances that they had, were Cho shooting from the left side of the box. But De Gea pulled out a great save. And then Timo Wini, he had a chance, but Aaron Wan-Bissaka blocked it. But outside of that, there wasn't really much big, big chances in the game for Chelsea. And their equalizer came from the spot. And it was a penalty. But at the same time, it's frustrating, of course, because Wan-Bissaka sometimes doesn't have a brain. But honestly, I feel like it's a good result for United, of course, playing against what I think is the best team in the league. Jadon Sancho, 2 goals in 2 games. We finally arrived on the big stage, you know. So I feel like it's promising going into Ralf Rangnick's reign. That's going to be till the end of the season. So I feel like there's good signs in terms of the way that the side pressed, the way that the side defended. Fred was all over the place. He was great today. And I think players like Fred, Rashford, Sancho, Bruno, they're going to be vital for the team when we transition into the Ralf Rangnick reign, because Cristiano Ronaldo, let's be honest, he's not going to be on the bench for a lot of games. And Cristiano Ronaldo is not going to press 90 minutes of the game. He's not going to cut about the place, run around, chase after bodies. So I feel like Rangnick is the man that will be able to find ways around it, set up triggers, find ways to use the players that are more energetic around Ronaldo to compensate for that lack of press that's going to be there at times. So for me right now, it's good to be a United fan. We're happy with the draw away from home. So, you know, it's a good result. And, you know, it's the start of the return. You know what I mean? We'll be back soon.
If you say so.
Without,
I don't know what you mean, but if you say so, I'll just take your word for it.
You should.
That's actually...
Number 4 is coming, by the way, now. Number 4 is coming. So see y'all in May.
Number 4 what?
League final. Just cool.
Number 4 what?
That's cool, man. Remember, you heard it here first.
Are you crazy? We need to get the workers here at Live From The Stands drug tested. I'm sorry, viewers, we're going to start getting people drug tested, because Lal is obviously off his sauce. Something has seriously happened to him. and he started using something. But yeah, so now we're going to dive right into the schoolboy football segment of the podcast. And with me is a very, very, very special guest all the way from Barbados, though he's a Jamaican at heart. I've accepted him into the Jamaican family. Is none other than Gerard Morris Seeley. Gerard, say something to the people.
Hi, everyone. My name is Gerard Morris Seeley. I am a host for the schoolboy football season at Sports Mats. Has been a great experience so far.
He's been really doing it in the journalism space. And just look out for this guy. Trust me, just look out for him. So, Gerard, I wanted to talk to you about your thoughts on the season so far. You would have seen a lot of games, you know, watched a lot of games and heard about a lot of teams. So what are your thoughts on schoolboy football season so far?
Yeah, and actually, I think this is a very, very good season. I know a lot of people have been expecting the bigger teams like Calabar's and George's College to really do well in the Manning Cup and the Costa Cup teams. I think COVID has kind of done the season pretty good. I say that because a lot of players now are getting a chance to showcase themselves as top players, because a lot of the teams have not been able to steal players from other schools. The schools have a fair chance of showcasing their talent. I mean, even for schools like Kingston Technical and Charlie Smith, who are currently the top of Group A in the Manning Cup, they have really shown their you know, resilience, and they've shown their will to win. There are a couple of players, of course, that have stood out so far, especially from Kingston Technical. You have Maquan Aldridge in the Manning Cup, and the Costa Cup, there's a young forward from Stets, yeah, in that St. Elizabeth group. So there are a lot of players and a lot of teams that are doing better because of, the lack of crowds. Of course, you know, it is hard to perform under pressure from a home crowd. Or, for instance, if a team like Bridgeport is playing against a team like St. George's College, who will have their support in numbers, they will literally crumble. So I think COVID has done good in that sense. Unfortunately, though, because of COVID, we have not been able to get a full season. Of course, the exclusion of the knockout tournaments, which is really something that I would have loved to see up front and center in person. But of course, you know, we can't really do anything about that. But the ESA is just testing the waters to see how things are going to go with this Manning, with the Manning Cup and the Costa Cup this year. So far, they've done well. Protocols have been adhered to. We didn't have any cases that are notable. Everybody has the vaccine, and we've been working well, both in the media and in ESA. So everybody has been playing their part, pulling their weight, and making sure that this season comes off as close to as incident-free as possible. So it is a wonderful season so far. All the teams are really putting out their best effort. Unfortunately, St. Mary's College have dropped out of the tournament. Which is quite sad to see after conceding 39 goals in 2 games.
Yeah.
Tough. But that's how it goes in the sport of football. But overall, tournament has been excellent.
And you mentioned like how well ISA has been doing with the schools themselves have been doing with, you know, the COVID protocols. Remember, we were at St. Elizabeth Technical, and do you remember how they brought out the machine where the players go through, check their temperature, get disinfected, so to speak. They have to turn around, and it was a really good. So you have schools that have these facilities and these technology that, you know, ensure that the players and the stakeholders are safe when they come to the game. Just to bring
that's
it
right.
back. Sorry. Continue.
I was just going to say that ESA really has been trying to clamp down on the protocol. Well, not clamped down, but trying to enforce the protocols, and they've been doing so quite well. The COVID marshals are doing their jobs, the security guards as well, and everybody's just playing their part.
Yeah, it takes a team to pull off a season like this. Mention some players like Aldridge from Kingston Technical, and yeah, he's very special to me. And also for me, I would have seen Christopher Pearson of Kingston College. You'd have seen that Kingston College versus Woolmer's game. And he looked like a real man out there controlling the midfield. He ended up grabbing a goal, the first goal for his team, and that's three for the season. And, you know, it's really amazing when you see certain players, you know, you can draw for Duncan McKenzie of Jamaica College, who would have scored a hat-trick against St. George's College on Friday. And that was truly amazing because, you know, he's playing against St. George's College, which you would have expected to be a tough team. And it's not every day that you can see somebody go and grab a hat-trick. So, like, to me, just saying how these players, the players you, certain players where you expect to step up, because Duncan's been playing Manning Cup since he was 15. He got his debut. And you expect these players to step up, and they have been showing out. So I must commend these players for staying fit and keeping active during this two-year period to come out and show out for the, you know, the scouts who might be giving them scholarships, or even, you know, anybody who might want to take them to a professional club level. But what teams do you say you think can definitely make a push for the title, Gerard?
The Manning Cup, so far, I do think that Kingston Technical are contenders. Of course, with Maquan playing in the midfield and really setting the tempo of the game, being the maestro, the architect as well, they have looked very solid as a unit. Their defense has really been putting in some work as well, and they've been converting goals, which is important thing, converting their chances. Kingston College, big, big contender for me. I saw them play against Womers. We were there. And they just looked like men amongst boys. They set the tone. They played football in their style and forced Womers to play their style of football and just really dominated that entire game. That is the only game we've seen them play so far. But from the table and from the way how we saw them play, they are indeed contenders for me. I would also say over in the DaCosta Cup that a team like Lakovia, they have a very good chance of winning as well. But there's the Herbert Morris group. William Nib is in there.
Undefeated.
Also, yeah, undefeated William Nib. And they lost. And Herbert Morris lost to William Nib.
Yeah.
We also see Monroe College there. They have 12 points as well. They look pretty good in zone C. I think Manchester High, they are capable as well. But the Costa Cup for me is more competitive than because, you know, we had different teams, different players, and all of them are, the teams are at the top look really good. And so there's a chance that they are capable of beating each other when they get into the quarterfinal round. So it's anybody's game at this point. But we'll see exactly who has the will to go out there and really perform. But they're clear-cut winners for me in the Manning Cup, but none in the DaCosta Cup.
Yeah, I was having a discussion the other day, and somebody was saying which cup is harder to win, the Manning Cup or the DaCosta Cup. They said for them it's the DaCosta Cup, because with the DaCosta Cup, you have a more likely chance of seeing a team people would consider smaller, or a smaller school beat a bigger school or a more well-known name. And it's true, because I feel like the DaCosta Cup is closer in skill level. The teams are closer in skill level and competition-wise than the Manning Cup, where you'd have that huge gap between, you know, St. Mary's College and St. Catherine High, if you get what I'm saying. So
yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the DaCosta Cup will be a very interesting competition. It's going to come down to the wire, especially that group with Lakovia, Magati, Monroe, and Stets. That's going to come. And BB Coke. Yeah, BB Coke. It just seems like they're beating each other. Each team is beating the other teams within the group. So you'd have Lakovia beating BB Coke, but then BB Coke turns around and beats Stets. So it's going to come right down to the wire for that one for me. And, you know, the players, though, they grasped the situation out of, you know, gone out to the school and met some of the players, and they grasped the situation and they really want to win and they really want to play. They're just excited to be out there, and it's refreshing to see that kind of excitement because it reflects in the way they play football, you know, that passion, that pride that they have behind the school badge. And it's just going to make for a good season, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, most certainly. I'm actually quite happy to see that the boys are just ready and rearing to go and play football there. After not having any football for almost 2 years, they finally get a chance to go back onto the field and compete for the schools. And the heart is there. A lot of them are not only playing for school, but they're playing for personal reasons. One of the Stets players lost his mother before the tournament, and he dedicated the entire tournament to his mom. When we saw BB Cope play against Lakovia, there was a player, one of BB Cope's players is actually in hospital during that game. And the BB Cope players were really playing for him. Yeah. So there are a lot of human interest stories as well inside of the football tournament, inside of the football seasons. Of course, it is interesting to see how these things play out in real life, because we always hear about them in international football, but then when we can bring it to this local sense, and we have schools and we have high schools playing against each other for not just the sake of winning a cup or giving their school pride, but also that human interest side of it. It's quite interesting, and I love to see that. I think Issa is doing a good job and Issa has been doing a good job for years with this tournament. Well, with these tournaments, because there's Manny Cup, the Costa Cup, and then there's the Knockout. But I really think Issa, seeing it for myself, I've always seen it on television, but actually seeing it for myself, I can say that they're really doing a good job. And comparing it to Barbados, which I really don't like to do, Issa has moved high school football in Jamaica to a level which is way beyond the rest of the Caribbean, especially in Barbados as well.
Well, viewers, we're looking forward to a good season. You know, me and Jared ourselves, you know, we're going to be at a lot of the games, and we'll be sure to update you. And thank you for coming, Jared. We're going to, you know, hop into the next segment, and that's beautiful. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. And of course, all the listeners, they could make sure that they watch out for the rest of the season. It's going to be quite interesting.
So that brings us to our next segment. You know, we want to get into our Jamaican Athlete of the Week. We brought that in last season in the pilot season. So now we're trying to bring that back right now. So, Lal, who is your Jamaican Athlete of the Week?
Well, for me, this week, it was a crazy week of schoolboy football, as we just got into. And it has to be, in my opinion, JC captain Duncan McKenzie. He was brilliant in the game against Georges. Bentu would have known all about that because, you know, a former Georges old boy. So he cooked them up, scored a hat trick, and he really and truly arrived on the scene of schoolboy football. So for me, he is the Jamaican Athlete of the Week. He's my Jamaican Athlete of the Week.
And for me, I'm going to go with the number 8 for Kingston College, none other than Christopher Pearson. You know, I'm a big man himself, and he was brilliant. He looks like we have mentioned in the segment right before, you know, he's a man amongst boys. He grabbed a goal. You know, he's truly a notch above the rest in the midfield. And I hope that we get to see Duncan versus Chris in the coming weeks of the schoolboy football season. But that has been our Jamaican Athlete of the Week. You know, if there's anybody we missed, you know, you can just tell us, and, you know, we'll definitely look into it, because, you know, what were we thinking? You know, it could have really been that your choice to be the Jamaican Athlete of the Week. But for us, you know, these two kids are putting a performance that we just viewed as, you know, ready for the Jamaican Athlete of the Week. So, Lal, is it game time?
It's game time. So, we're going to get into, like I said, a fresh new game for this week. You know, we've had, for the past couple of weeks, we've had Guess the Legend. We had Benty go perfect 3-for-3. We had Shaki, we had Khalid and Deji stomp out, couldn't guess Frank Lampard last week. And this week, we're going to go into our new game, which is overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. So it's another game that you guys can play along with us at home. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to list a player, team, entity. It could be anything, really and truly. I'm going to list it, and then we're both going to say, do we think it's overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? It's pretty simple. The name of the game is in the name. You see me? So, Benty, to kick it off this week for overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated, we're going to talk about Vinicius Jr. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
For me, Vinicius Jr. is a baller. He's underrated for me. He scored a class goal today, man. Just today, he scored a class goal. Today being Sunday, because we record on a Sunday. So just in case you're wondering. Yeah, today he scored a class goal. And I want you to know, Joga Bonita is back and is here to stay. But Neymar is gone. He's going to bring it on. And trust me, he's getting better with the finishes. And once he gets better with those finishes, he is a top, top baller. Absolute baller. Vinicius is underrated. I don't think you guys give him that respect. And I seen people respect Dembele more than Vinicius. And Vinicius is an absolute baller.
Keep going. I mean, for me, I have to agree with you. I think there was a point, like, when he just burst onto the scene and when he got his big move to Real Madrid, I think there was several points where he was overrated for me because he's always been good on the ball. He's always been Joga Bonita, a baller, Brazilian product. But for me, what was always lacking was that consistent end product. And this season, he has been playing out of his mind in La Liga for Real Madrid. So for me, I agree with Benty. He's completely underrated right now. One of the best wingers in the world. I think he's the best winger in La Liga, easily. So, Vinicius Jr., we both think he's underrated. What do you guys think? Moving into what people say is one of the best keepers in the world and what some say is the best keeper in the Prem, Edouard Mendy. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? For me, I feel like Mendy is a little bit overrated. Now, I'm not saying that the guy is not fantastic. I think he's a class keeper and his clean sheet record and goals conceded record for Chelsea is out of this world. But I feel like at times he gets piped up just a little bit too much. He is class, but I feel like people are giving him best in the world shouts when I'm not quite sure if he's there yet. So for me, he's just slightly overrated. What do you think about Mendy, Benty?
For me, I think he's just, I get what you're saying about probably he's overrated, but for me, he's perfectly rated. There's an aspect where, you know, he's in an excellent system with what Tuchel has done. You know what I mean? Tommy Tuchel. And I think that has a part to play in, you know, his clean sheets and that type of thing. But also there's the fact that he's a good shot stopper and he's done it for Senegal as well. So I'm giving him that type of rating. So it's a balance for me. It's a perfect balance. So I think, yeah, he's just perfectly rated, Edouard Mendy. He's not the best in the world. He's not the worst in the world. He's just right there. He's just, you know, a top solid keeper in a top team. Solid.
Facts.
I give him an 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10.
All right. So we're going to move into one of the greatest strikers that we've ever seen play the game, Robert Lewandowski. Benty. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
I think he's perfectly rated because, I mean, people are saying he's the best striker in the world. That's fine by me right now. Where overrated would probably come in is maybe if, you know, they start saying he's better than Prime Suarez, because ain't no striker better than Prime Suarez to me right now. I haven't seen in my life, I haven't seen a striker better than Prime.
Prime Rooney is knocking at the door. Prime Rooney, he's at the door.
I mean, all right, just easy, bro. Just easy. I don't even really consider Rooney like, because Rooney was so versatile, he could play everywhere. I don't know. I'm talking about through and through strikers, like through and through strikers. So I'm thinking Kane, Suarez, I'm thinking Lewa, I'm thinking Aguero, I'm thinking all of those people and Higuain and those type of ballers. And I'm thinking, you know, I just said ballers and said Higuain in the same sentence. Anyway, but I'm thinking definitely, you know, Lewandowski is perfectly rated. He's getting the best in the world shouts right now. And right now, he is the best in the world to me. You know, a Ballon d'Or contender in 2020, I think he should have won it. 2021, another contender. I don't think he's going to win it, but I'd much rather him on it than, you know, another person. I won't say his name. He shall not be named. But
we know who you're talking about. We know who you are true word for. But it's all right. And for me, you know, it's I feel like Lewandowski is perfectly rated. People talk about him as one of the best strikers in the world. I feel like it's him and Benzema right now up there, because Barry Kane is moving like garbage. But yeah, for me, Lewandowski perfectly rated. I'm going to go into Bernardo Silva. Underrated, overrated, or perfectly rated? And really and truly, let's be real. Bernardo Silva is a baller. He is underrated. And I'm not going to lie, there are points. I think it was last season, there were times where I was like, yo, Bernardo Silva, bro, why are we talking about him like this? But being real, when he plays, bro, Bernardo Silva is a baller. Silky smooth, the work rate, the passing, the dribbling, everything. I think he's really underrated. And I feel like being in City side with all these stars, it sometimes will dampen down him shine. But he is cold with it, bro. So I feel like Bernardo Silva is underrated.
For me, Bernardo Silva is, you know, probably he's underrated in the aspects of Manchester City, but I think he's just perfectly rated for Portugal. Because with Manchester City, he's more direct. You see him, you know, go after the goals and that type of stuff and complete perfect passes and all that. But for Portugal, he's a bit more passive. And I don't think I like that. But I think Bernardo Silva is, you know, probably underrated or just about perfectly rated, because now he's getting his little shouts. But I think he's been underrated, because even last season, he wasn't getting much game time and people were, you know, Bernardo Silva this, Bernardo Silva that. But I think, yeah, he is underrated. He's an absolute baller. You know, remember what he was like from Monaco in that season. And yeah, he's definitely underrated. I think moving to England kind of, you know, to, people kind of took his eye off him. But he's saying, yo, I'm here. I'm still here. Because remember, he wanted that number 10. He wanted that number 10 when Aguero left. He wanted that number 10. And I think, you know, they could have probably given him that number 10. He's an absolute baller. He's a 10 caliber baller to me.
So we're going to go into one more football related, overrated, underrated, perfectly rated. I'm going to talk about PSG as a club. Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. And Benti, PSG.
Overrated. Overrated. Maybe they're overrated and I think they're underperforming, which is leading to me saying they're overrated because of their lack of performances. I think, yes, of course, Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe, PSG are supposed to be, you know, the MSN region, and it's not living up to that hype and it's not getting that type of quality from it. But I think they are overrated, though. I think they're really just a decent team. I think they're more like Bale, Benzema, and Ronaldo on an off day. I think they're like that.
For me, I think they're overrated as well. It's tough because Poch is in a bit of a pickle because of the way that he sets up his team and the way that he likes to press. And the front three just need up on the pressing thing. So, I mean, I think they're overrated. And like you said, they're underperforming massively. And we can only hope for Poch's sake that they get it together. But we're going to move into a couple non-sports related ones before we head out this week. So Benti, I'm going to ask you this one real quick. Stranger Things, overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated? And don't tell me you haven't watched Stranger Things, please.
I've watched Stranger Things, man. Okay. If you haven't watched Stranger Things, then you just live under a rock.
Fair.
I think Stranger Things is perfectly rated. It's a very, very good show. I love shows that are set in older time. So like the 90s and the 70s and the 80s. Because I look at my favorite type of shows. I love, you know, Peaky Blinders. I love Snowfall. I love that. What's that show with? It's a Vikings. Legit, that's its name. Vikings. I like Vikings. So I like, you know, shows with a little date on them, a little history. You know, I like that because I love 90s rap and I love that type of thing. I love the 70s too. So yeah, Stranger Things perfectly rated for me.
And I agree because Stranger Things, let's be honest, it's one of the best shows on Netflix. It's coming back soon. You know, 11 about to be carrying the team on her back once again. And we both in agreement that Stranger Things is perfectly rated. Now, Benti, Starbucks, overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
I think Starbucks is overrated. And the only time Starbucks isn't overrated is when you get what I get. I have the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Frap. And if you get that, then it's perfectly rated. But otherwise from that, Starbucks is overrated. I think, you know, I think Cafe Blue even has some, you know, better shouts in terms of some fraps and that type of thing. So, I mean, Starbucks has the prestige, but if you really want that value and that taste, I will check out Cafe Blue. This is not prop, though. This is not prop. This is not prop.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by Cafe Blue, so we're not hype up too much. But Cafe Blue, I mean, if you're listening and you want to get in on the sponsors, you know, we're open to hearing, right? But for me, I mean, it's overrated as well, because it's one of those name brand things, you see me? Because Starbucks, before it came to Jamaica, it was everybody in Jamaica that said, yo, would I kill for Starbucks and all the thing. And it's been here and it's okay. I mean, like Benty said, if you get what I get, which is a venti toasted white mocha, then you can, you see me, perfectly rated. But I think Starbucks is a little overrated, and of course it's hype thing. So y'all get some hype overrated in there. And lastly, for this week, we are going to say KFC, Jamaica KFC specifically, overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. And for me, it is a hot take, but it's KFC Jamaica is overrated. So wait. So let's get into it real quick. KFC Jamaica in Jamaica is the best KFC in the world. And KFC is great. It's really good. But the way how we go on about the KFC, it don't work that much, as in me. So KFC, you know, barbecue chicken and original chicken better than spicy chicken. We all know that. And the zingers are crazy. But you know, I mean, KFC is a little overrated. Popeye's chicken is really good, and it's not as good as KFC, but it's up there as well. But for me, KFC, it the price them crazy, the line them crazy, the weight is crazy. So I mean, it's a little bit overrated for me. Ben.
I mean, I don't even really like fried chicken, to be honest, but the zinger is really what it like. The zinger is lovely, and the price is high. Of course, the price is high, and yeah, I don't believe in the high prices, but I don't think it's overrated. I think it's perfectly rated, but the prices are a bit high. So there's a mixture of it. I think the prices are too high for the quality of goods, but the goods are so... It actually is quality. Right. So it's like you're buying a car and it has a bit of mileage on it, but the car is so nice. And I think, yeah, KFC is like that. The zinger is really amazing, man. Like, a zinger can change your life, change your whole mood, you know? And, yeah.
Barbecue or spicy?
Once you have that ability, barbecue, of course.
All right, cool. We're good. No more drug tests needed, because barbecue is in there superior. We all know that.
Yeah, of course it is. Perfect.
So... guys, that is going to bring a close to our game of the week, which was overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated. If you guys want to send in some stuff that you want us to rate, then of course you know the vibes. Stadium876 on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, wherever, we're there. You know the vibes. So that was it for us this week on Live from the Stands. So another good week. We're back on this. We're on this consistency thing, you know. Benty, what you got? You got anything to say to the people before we head out?
Yeah, it's, you know, just take care of yourself, man. It's getting close to that winter time. I was sick last week. You know, stay safe, guys, and you know, just, you know, be the best version of yourself out there. And thank you for listening again. If you made it all the way here,
facts. So we're grateful for you guys. Like we said, guys, remember, take care of yourselves. And thanks once again for tuning in to Live from the Stands. And remember, guys, don't sit in the bleachers. Be in the grandstand. Peace.